The title is The Life of Victory. The Life of Victory. Shout, I got the victory. I've got the victory. You got to have the victory. And I want to share some things with you this morning and discover how we position ourselves to have the victory in all that we do. I don't know about you, but I like to win. Amen. When I put my full effort into something, I like to win. You know, I don't want a medal that says I participated. I want to have the gold. Amen. And I read some article in the newspaper today, and they were talking about giving these awards out just for participation. I'm like, what? There's going to be a winner, and there's going to be a loser. Amen. You know, a first place, a second place, a third place in a division. You know what I'm saying? And just because you participated doesn't mean that. If you didn't put no effort, it doesn't mean anything. Amen. And sometimes, you know, Christians, they don't put the effort into the Word of God, and they don't get the benefits of it. Amen. And so I'm just here to help you take and apply some of the principles that the Word of God says. Because if you understand, God works on things on principle. God's a principle kind of God. Amen. And you got to understand that once you work the principles, you get the results from those principles. You end up getting the things that God says you can have. Amen. And God says that we can have the victory, and we can have victory all the time. Now, here's something you need to understand. God always causes us to triumph in Christ. That's what the Bible says. Every situation you go through, every circumstance, even if it looks bad, God is constantly behind the scenes cheering you on. Just so you know that. Just want to help you this morning. For believers, victory over the battle is assured. That's why you can overcome every trial and every test. And let me just say something this morning. How you overcome your tests and trials is by the amount of words you have in your heart. Because what's ever in your heart, your mouth will speak. You're like a toothpaste. When you start to squeeze a toothpaste, what comes out? Toothpaste. Well, when you're getting squeezed, what's coming out? Is it the Word of God, or is it something that you shouldn't be saying? Come on. Just trying to help you this morning. Believers. As believers, you are assured of the victory, but you got to make sure you got some word in you. Amen. Now let me give you an example of something. I work out. I know it doesn't look like it, but I used to be 365 pounds. Amen. And I lost the weight, and I worked out, and I was doing the things that I'm supposed to do. And so when the opportunity comes when I need to lift something heavier, I've been working out long enough so I can then use the resources that are in me to move that weight. Amen. Same with the Word of God. When you get the Word of God in you, you can begin to use the resources that have been inside of you to use it to move the mountains, the tests, the trials, the sickness, the disease. It's all about the Word that you have. When you get squeezed, that's going to start to come out. It's going to be a resource for you when you need it. Amen? So we're going to take a look at the Word of God this morning in Ecclesiastes 9:11. And I want to just break this down for you. This is in the New King James Version. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. In other words, life happens. That's what it says. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't mean if you're Bill Gates, you're still going to have to pay tax. You're still going to have life. You're still going to have sickness. You're still going to have disease. You're still going to have some things in your life. It happens to everybody. Steve Wynn can't see very well. That's why he has to have people. And I bet if he got saved and set free and delivered from the things of the world, I believe he could be healed. So he's lacking something called eyesight. Come on now. It happens to everybody by chance. It just happens. It says, for men also does not know his time. Like fish taken in a cruel net, like birds caught in a snare. So the sons of men are snared in the evil time when it falls upon them. When it suddenly falls upon them. Here's the deal. Guess what? Stuff happens to all of us. You're not exempt. Just because you got saved, just because you're a Christian, doesn't mean that things aren't going to happen to you. God's not trying to teach you a lesson, but life happens. We make stupid choices and we say things that we shouldn't say, and then all of a sudden we create an environment that we didn't think we wanted to create, and all of a sudden we're living in chaos and trouble and problems and issues and concerns. It's called life. Amen? get used to it. We live life, but we can live it in victory. Amen? But we got to deposit the word in your heart. Shout with me this morning. The more word stored in my heart, the more I will experience. Let's get that air on in here if we could, please. That's going to touch that. We're going to blow that right out. Amen. So we're going to experience more victory in life. Amen. How do we do that? Spending time in the Word. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? The race is not given to the swift. It's not given to the strong. It's not given to the wise or the skillful. But time and chance happens to everybody. So you don't have to be the smartest. You don't have to go through certain things. Guess what's going to happen? Life is going to happen with you or without the word or with the word. Whatever's going to happen, life is going to happen. And you got to understand that. And you're not exempt from that. But the Bible says something different. It says, those that win are those that know what to do in battle. A soldier knows what to do in battle. Why? Because he's probably went to boot camp for 12 or 16 or 18 weeks. Amen? And he got trained and he got brainwashed. Amen? He got broken down. He got busted his ranks down to nobody. And they're all the same. All the guys. My son was in the army and he was a good boy. We raised him right, but you know, teenagers are smarter than us adults. Amen. And so when he went into the service, he finally learned that mom and dad weren't really trying to hurt him. He was trying to help him, trying to avoid the pitfalls in life. And so he went into the army. And then after 16 weeks, I was the smartest guy that walked on the face of earth. I said, praise God, hallelujah. Army's got some good things there. But I watched how they trained the guys, how they walked in unison. And when they took command, they would look a certain way and do a certain thing, and they all were in agreement. They knew what to do to when they go into battle. They've already been tested and trained week after week, day after day. And that's what we should be doing with the Word of God. Every day we should be sowing some Word in us, amen, because we're going to have some tests. We're going to have some trials. There is a devil that doesn't like you, amen. He wants to snuff you out, amen. But please don't blame the devil for everything that you do, because sometimes you're stupid. Amen? And you cause those old things, and then you say, it's the devil made me do it. I used to use the devil all the time as a scapegoat. Amen? Well, Mom, you know, the devil made me do it. You know? And then my mom would beat the devil out of me. Praise God. Hallelujah. So has anyone experienced any trials or tribulation or any issues lately? I mean, you're going through something? So if you're going through something, that means you're doing something right, because God's going to use those tests and trials to make you better. Amen? He's trying to grow you to go somewhere. Amen? You know, you don't know how good you are until you've been tested. In college, you know, I went to college, and when you get every couple weeks you'd have a test. They would test you on what you learned. You either got an A, B, C, D, or F. Amen? And you had the class curve, and you always had one guy or one woman that was so smart that always screwed up the class curve. But he's there to try to test you. Here's the deal. You're going to have tests so you can find out what's been placed inside of you. Has the word been getting placed inside of you other than on Sunday? I'll go this way. Amen. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14, the New Living Translation says this way. But thank God, He has made us His captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now, He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Let me say that again. Now He uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Let me stop there. We're supposed to smell like a sweet perfume and not be something that stinks and turns people off. I don't like religion. And I don't like religious people. They turn me off. They make me run away from God instead of to God. You ever met those people? Try to tell you how to live your life and how much of a sinner you are and how jacked up you is and your life is messed up and they're holy roller and they're perfect and you'll never amount to nothing. You ever meet those religious people? Or those pastors that, you know, I see these pastors about race. You know, I didn't know that I was white until, I don't know, a long time ago. Amen? The color of the skin doesn't change my opinion of people. But then you see people in the pulpit that use that to twist and to turn and to get people against each other when we're supposed to be drawing people together. Religion causes people to pit against each other. Well, you know, I'm a Baptist and I'm a Presbyterian. I'm a Catholic or I'm a this or I'm that. Well, no, I'm a Christian. Amen. So you got to understand something. We're supposed to be like the fragrance of a sweet perfume, not something that stenches up the air. Amen. Just trying to help you. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57. You're all sitting there going, uh-oh, pastor's tearing us up this morning. No, I'm just trying to help you. I'm being real, though. Isn't it true? You ever meet those Christian people that you just going to run from? You ever been there? And you ever been with a whole group of them and you want to really run from them because they're just a little crazy, you know? Just, you know, not even moving, jerking, jumping. I mean, you know. I'm just thinking in Jesus' day, did that happen? I just don't see that craziness in Jesus. He was the Son of God. If he wasn't acting like a fool trying to be religious, then we shouldn't be that way. Amen? Because if you look at Jesus' life, in every area of his life, he always walked in victory. That's how he wants us to live, a life of victory. He wants us to be like that sweet perfume. I don't know if my wife's got some sweet perfume. Mm. And man, it could draw me across the house when I smell that. Woo! Baby, come on. Is it a holiday or something? You know, no, I'm just kidding. It's that sweet perfume. It's good for our nostrils. It invites you. It makes you feel good. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So our dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work." What's this word? What does it say? How? So we're supposed to do it how? So we're not supposed to always walk around going like this? Oh God, I gotta go to church. I might have to go to church today and I help out. God, I had to drive there. You know, I'm tired. I worked all week. How did he say to go? Always work for the Lord. For you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. So whatever you do for the Lord is always to help position you and gain something on earth and in the heavenly realm. That's what the Bible says. It says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. The Lord, the labor of the Lord is not in vain. It's never wasted. Shout, I have the victory in Christ Jesus. See, I have the victory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to have you say this a lot because you need to understand that you have the victory in Christ Jesus. You already do. You may not activate it and you may live in last place. But you can activate it and be in first place. Amen? Pastor, how do I experience this victory? Here's the deal. You got to learn to change your mindset. Say, I'm going to change my mindset. Say, I'm going to change my mindset. While you're going through these trials, guess what? You got to go ahead and get what's been in your heart tested. You got to go and you got to make sure that your mindset is focused on God and not your problem. What happens is the first thing we tell everybody when you say, how you doing? Well, I got this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. Really? Well, I got God that's going to take care of this problem, this problem, this problem. It's your approach. It's your mindset. It's how you're looking at things. Amen? You got to be aware of some things this morning. I want to help point a few things out. The attack is from the devil and not from God. When you're going through tests and trials, it's an attack from the devil. The devil doesn't like you. The devil wants to see, does that word that's in you really work, or are you just playing church? Are you playing Joe Christian? Or are you really sold out for the things of God? Amen? So the devil's there to test you. The devil's there to poke at you. The devil's there to try to upset you, to slow you down. The battle is in your mind. It's either won or lost your mind. You could either say, I'm going to beat this cancer, or I'm going to let it beat me. Or I'll never amount to be anything. Guess what? You never will. You've already put in your mindset that you're not going to do it, so you're not going to do it. When I was 365 pounds, I tried every single diet plan that was available, but I really wasn't serious about it. And I had to have a little success. I had to deal a meal. I had to get three sets of carbs because the first two sets didn't fill me up enough. Amen? You'll get that later. I tried Jenny Craig. Didn't like that. I mean, I tried all these different things, and I finally had to change the mindset. And I would say, I'm just going to be big my whole life, and I, you know, and that's okay. And it's not that it's wrong being big, but you know, I started realizing my feet were hurting, my joints were aching, and my body wasn't right, and the cholesterol was high, and the blood sugar was out of control, and I couldn't go climb up a ladder. I couldn't play with my kids. They want to go play a football. I need a half a gallon of oxygen, you know, and they're playing, you know, it's crazy. So I had to make a mindset to say, listen, I got to change some things. Maybe I shouldn't eat two large pizzas, you know, for lunch. I mean, maybe, you know, that was a problem, a stumbling block, you know. You're laughing, but come on, I could put down, I could eat some pizza. I could eat 50 chicken wings. I mean, you know, it's a good chicken wing. I might be able to put a whole couple bags away, man. You know, and being Italian and Polish, you know, you eat the kielbasa, and then you get to eat the Italian food, and you're just stuffing it away and stuffing it away and stuffing it away. And exercise, I thought walking to the bathroom back and forth because you eat so much was the exercise, and it wasn't enough exercise, you know. Doctors said you have to exercise and you got to eat right and take some vitamins and drink plenty of water and fluids. But I had to get my mind right around it. And I could either win the battle or lose the battle. And so I chose to win that battle. And over time, it's still always a battle. Because I still like sweets. I still like to eat pie. I still like to eat cheesecake. But I can't eat it every day. I can have it once or twice a week if I'm working out. If I'm not working out, I better not eat it at all. Amen? But it's in my mindset. The Word, here's the other deal. The Word in daily fellowship with the Holy Spirit releases God's strength and might in battle. You got to be reading the Word every day, and you got to spend some time with the Holy Spirit so that you can beat the devil. Amen? The Holy Spirit equips you with revelation knowledge. The Holy Spirit's your onboard pilot. Amen? He's there to help you, not to harm you. The Holy Spirit can only give you the ability to pass the test based on what's inside of you. Let me stop there right there. The Holy Spirit can only bring up to remembrance what's been placed in your heart. If you're not spending any time in the Word of God, then there's nothing he can pull from to help you get through your situation. And that's why you hang around in that situation so long, is because there's no word being pulled. The Holy Spirit's got to activate, here, do this, do this, do this. But if you don't have that word in you, then you don't know what he's talking about. You know? He's speaking English, and it's coming out translated to a different language, and you're not connecting. Why? Because there's no word inside of you. That's why it says to read the Word daily. Why? Because it helps build your mindset. And then when a storm or a test or a trial comes in your life, guess what? You can then have those words, the Holy Spirit will reveal those words to you so that you'll have the right plan of attack to deal with your situation. Does that make sense? Because God wants you to have victory in everything you have. The Holy Spirit can only bring to remembrance the things that you studied from the Word. He can only bring things that you've studied from the Word. He can only bring in remembrance of what you've had placed in you. If you've placed nothing in you, he's got nothing to draw from, so he starves to death, trying to get you. He's knocking on the door, but there's no answer because you don't know what he's saying because you don't know any of the Word. Amen? Shout, I have what it takes to defeat the enemy. See, we should never believe that we're going through trials because God's angry with us. I was taught a long time ago, before I was a Christian, that when I got sick, God was trying to teach me a lesson. You ever been told that before? That's bad teaching. Because I think about my Father on earth. He's never trying to get me sick to teach me a lesson. So why would the one who created me in his image, God Almighty, Jesus, my elder brother, why would they ever want to get me sick to teach me a lesson? Never. So obviously that was a lie from the devil, because the devil is the master of lies. Amen. So you have to get the word in you, so when the attack comes and those tests come and those lies come from the devil, you have the real word of God to activate in your life. Amen. Take a look at that 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter 4:12. This is the New Living Translation. It says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised as the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you." In other words, don't worry when you're going through some stuff. "Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, so that you will have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world." See, I like this verse 14. "So be happy when you are insulted for being a Christian, for then the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you." Be okay when people are insulting you. It's okay when people are making fun of you because you're a Christian. It's okay when you raise your kids right and they're not at the clubs, you know, getting drunk and because you've raised them right. But the world will laugh at you while you're doing that. The world will make fun that you're coming to church on Sunday and you're missing a ball game, or you could have went there, or you could have went fishing, or you could have got and you missed church. And people laugh at you and they say, "Well, you're going to go to church. You're a goody two-shoes." No, I'm just rolling holy, man. That's all. If I'm going to roll, might as well roll holy. Might as well do things God's way. Because it's those same people that are making fun of you will be knocking on your door when they're having problems. Aren't they the same ones? I'm going through this. Whoa, what do you think? "Well, I think you better go to church and get some word in you, get saved, set free, and delivered. Not here to pick on you." But it took me to go that route. I mean, I was living large and in charge, drinking, smoking, cussing, playing around, doing things I shouldn't do. Had money. Had more money before I was saved than most people that are saved. Ran a business when I was 22 years old, and rental properties and made all kinds of money, but I was living for the devil. Had none of that to show for at the end of the day. Because the devil, when he was done, he said, "Oh, pull that thing," and I fell. I had nothing to hang on to. No words of hope or joy or peace. I was going, "Oh my God, why is this happening to me?" God said, "Who? Why are you calling on me? I know who he is, but you don't know who I am." Trials do not necessarily come because you've missed the mark. When you become discouraged or fearful or doubtful, you're succumbing to defeat, and God doesn't want you to be defeated. You got to keep positive in your attitude despite what you're going through. Know that the Lord is strong and mighty in battle. Remind yourself that God loves you even when you're messed up. He loves you even when you're jacked up, even when you're doing the wrong thing. God still loves you. He's going to send somebody to help you. Take a look at 1 John 5:4. Turn this off just for 1 second, son. Just mute that. 1 John 5:4. Go ahead, you can turn me back on now. All right, thank you. 1 John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God," what does it say now? What does it say? "Overcomes the world." Let me stop here for a second. You and I are born of God. If you and I are born of God, then we overcome the world. In all its chaos and all its craziness and all its stupidness, we've overcome the world. And it says, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world." What do we need? Our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You got to know the Word of God. The Word of God needs to be inside of you. When the Word of God is inside of you, the Holy Spirit can then guide you and direct you and help you get through your struggles and tests. But if there's no Word in you, then you can't get through what you're going through, because you got no information that the devil or that the Holy Spirit can give you. So the devil takes advantage of your stupidity. Does that make sense? The devil will use your lack of knowledge to beat your brains in, to keep you down, to hold you back, to allow you to struggle just a little bit more. But you got to have a mindset. Remember we said you got to change your mind. You got to have a mindset of a winner. Everything I put my hands to is going to prosper. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. Man was created to win, to conquer, to prevail, and overcome. You were placed on this earth, this is what the Bible says, you were placed on this earth to have dominion and authority. It doesn't sound like somebody who is not a victor, have a victory in their life. It sounds like somebody who has Christ in their lives, that are more than overcomers. But see, when you compare sin to grace, grace wins every time. God's grace wins every time. When you succumb to sin and you fear and unbelief and worry and doubt and shame and other negative circumstances, what happens is it shorts out your success. It short circuits it. It stops it from where you could really be in the things of God. You got to remember, heaven is rooting for you. Take a look at this last scripture this morning. In the Message translation, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 through 9. This is the Message translation. And it's okay to read different scriptures in different versions of the Bible. And the reason why, because it breaks it down for us to understand it. You know, I like the King James Version, but thus doest and those and these and throw me off. So I try to get scriptures that line up with the Word of God and then make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. And sometimes different translations. I've been yelled at by other pastors that are very religious that I don't hang around with anymore because I was speaking out of Message translation or New King James or Amplified, and they go, well, there's only one version. And I said, well, I don't speak Greek or Hebrew because that's the only translations there are. And if you don't speak Greek and Hebrew, then those are everything else is a translation, including New King James. So just a sidetrack that. See how religion gets in the way of you having a victory because people talk stuff. And as long as you're reading the Word, read the Word. Amen. The goal is read the Word of God. And I got different translations. And you know, if you have an iPad, you can have like 85 different translations. Amen. And you can put them next to each other and see what they say and dissect it and then use that. Amen. The Bible says 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 9. Sorry to digress, but I just want to throw that out. It says, test yourselves to make sure that you are solid in your faith. Test yourself. Test yourself. Go through some things and make sure, am I doing the right thing? Now, I'm not saying, no, you build up your faith and then you say, I'm going to stand in front of the strip club and not walk in. Now, that's not a test, amen? Because what's going to happen is you're going to be tempted and you're going to walk in. And then you're going to say, well, I'm going to get all these people saved. No, you're not. 3 hours later and $500. Okay, you'll be on the couch and your wife will be yelling at you, amen? So I'm just trying to keep it real. Is that, come on, now. But you can test yourself to make sure that you're in solid faith. It says, don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups, just like you do when you go to the doctor. You go get a checkup a couple times a year. It says you need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Oh, I like that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Just don't stand around and not do anything. It says, I hope the test won't show that you have failed. But if it comes to that, we'd rather be tested showing our failure than yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you. We couldn't possibly do otherwise. We don't just put up with our limitations. We celebrate them, and then we go on to celebrate every strength, every triumph of the truth in you. We pray hard that it will all come together in your lives. You're going to go through some tests and trials, but you can only do, when you go through that, you're setting yourself up for victory. God wants you to have victory. Say, God wants me to have the victory. Shout, I'm tested, but not defeated. I'm a winner and not a loser in Christ Jesus. I have overcome, and I can experience the victory in all things. That's what the Bible says. We can experience all these things in Christ Jesus. But it's on your mindset. You got to change some things you're speaking. Last couple weeks we spoke about what's coming out of our mouth. We got to watch because the words we speak create the environment we're in. We don't like what we're living in. Change it by what you speak. This morning you can experience victory all the time. That's what the Bible says. I didn't make this up. God said we could have the victory in everything. But we got to change our mindsets. We got to dwell on God things, not our problems. We ever do that? We always hang on to our problems. When you meet somebody, they always say, I got this going on, this going on, this going on, and they tell you all their problems, and you're like, man, I didn't know I was a trash receptacle. You know? You ever hang people like that? All they do is want to, like, you know, and then they're done with the conversation. They say, well, I got to go now. You go hook up with Starbucks, and it's 80 minutes of their time, and you got like, oh, and hello and goodbye. Those two things you got to say. You know? And they just dump on you. And that's okay sometimes to be a sounding board, but sometimes you just got to tell that person, maybe you need to lean on Jesus a little bit more than me. Come on now. I mean, I don't mind hearing your problem, but the one that's going to, I'm going to point you to the one who can help you. I'm just a resource. He is the source. Amen. And so I can only point you to the one, I can only point you to some scriptures, but if you don't read them and put them in your heart, then the problem you face will never get better because you're not doing the things that God's called you to go do. Study and meditation on the word will deposit things in your heart, and then when things come your way, things that come from your heart, your mouth speaks. Are you speaking life or death? Count it all joy when you go through a test or trial, because what's happening is the devil is being defeated on every turn. Every single time you go through a test or go through a trial and you defeat the devil, he gets discouraged. Next time he doesn't bother you as much. Devil messes with me once in a while, but once I set him straight, he don't bother me for a long time. He'll disappear for a while and everything's going good in your life, you know, and all of a sudden he'll try to show up just to remind you that he's still the devil, you know, and then you just have to say, devil, come on, I've seen that old playbook 5 years ago. That's why your team's defeated. The demons are defeated, amen? So you got to understand something, that you just count it all joy. It means that all you're doing is preparing yourself for something that God's going to use you for. When you go through stuff, you get something called an experience. That experience, you can then pass it along to somebody who's going through something. That's why I like elder generation, the older folks. Why? Because there's something about them, they've already experienced so much in life that they can pass it down to you to save me a whole bunch of time. So young ones, hang around with your grandmas and grandpas. It's okay to do that because they got some wisdom and some knowledge and some strength, and they've gone through some stuff in their time so they can try to help you not go through it. Hey, I'd like to take a shortcut if I can. If I don't have to go do that, I don't want to fall into a ditch. Amen? Make up your mind that you're a winner. Be determined that nothing will separate you from the victory. Get ready and prepare yourself for tests to come because you're an overcomer. I remember this, man. I remember when we started in ministry almost 11 years ago. And we were sent out, and it was me and my wife and a couple people and $500 I think we had, you know. And I'll never forget, I called some pastors that were senior pastors in town, and they had some big churches and they had some stuff going. So I figured they got something going. Might as well go where they've already been and go talk to them. And to my surprise, they wouldn't meet with me. They would have allowed me to rather fall into a ditch and have the church fail because of my lack of knowledge than meet with me and help me. I'm not mad at those pastors or anything like that, you know. I don't wish them any ill will, but when young people are starting up a church or something, they've never done it, and I've already done it for 11 years, I've already went through some hell to get where I'm at. I would like to have them avoid that hell and shortcomings and pitfalls and legal stuff, and so they can just move the ministry forward in the things of God. I should be like a shepherd to lead them and to guide them in victory. Amen? But then religion gets in there. You know, your church might be bigger than my church, and I'm not into a competition. I've never counted numbers in my life. I always like when you go to conferences and stuff, they always say, how many numbers you're running? I said, man, I got about 12 million people. Can you believe that? Yeah, just in one church, though, and we only got about 20 or 30 at a time, but yeah, praise God, they're doing the work. I don't have a church of 1,000 because I don't have 1,000 headaches. But I have a church of 20 or 30, and those people all do the word, and they don't call the pastor and say, oh, you know, I have a hangnail. Can you pray for me? No. Because you get in the word, and then you do the word, and you activate the word, and then you just come with the testimony. Hey, pastor, did you know I was battling cancer for 6 months? But I never wanted to tell you, because I just wanted you to know I stood on a word, and now I'm healed, whole, and set free. I just want to tell you my testimony that I've been healed. Come on now. I mean, that's called taking the word and growing up and doing the word. Amen? I can only guide you to God. I mean, when I got cancer in my lungs, and I didn't call 10 people and say, hey, I got this cancer, man. I didn't claim the problem. I said, Jesus, I got this thing here, and either your word's good or I'm going to die and make you look like a real fool, so you better make sure that I'm healed here. By your stripes, I'm going to do everything on my end. I'm going to confess the word, and I'm going to not confess the illness, and I got healed. Didn't have to have lung cancer. I didn't have to have surgery. I got healed in the middle of the night. A day before, I was going to go get a test for the scan that they do, that PET scan thing, and they see where everything's at, you know. And I said, I coughed a few times, and I could breathe, and I told my wife I got healed, and she said, yeah, go back to sleep. It must be the Mexican food. And I said, no, honey, man, I'm healed. And I went to the thing, and they went in there, and they thought I was a guy that already had surgery, and that cancer was already removed. They couldn't find anything other than there was an incision that was on my lung. Just get this. This is why I talk about victory. I had an incision on my lung that I'd never seen the doctor for. But Dr. Jesus healed me. So when you stand on his word, you always get the victory. And don't allow people to naysay you. Run from people that are negative. Run away from people that say you can't amount to anything, even when you're 60 years old and you want to go do something, you want to go skyscraping or jump on an airplane. God, go do it. Just prepare yourself. Make sure you know what you're doing, and then go do it. You're never too old. You gain the victory every single time you do the word. When you do the word, you get yourself positioned to get the victory. Let me turn this down. You guys are shivering yet? Praise God. Nodding off, you're like this. So I'm just trying to help you. Because I care. Not used to this weather change, are you? I mean, it's 70 degrees. Praise God. And all those that are buying the tape in Michigan, it's February 16th and you're freezing. praying for you, praise God. When you look back at your life, think about this for a second. Can you see how many times God was there to help you get the victory? If you looked at the time when you started as a Christian to where you are today, all those times you went through those tests that you thought, I'd never get through it, but you did. I never get through that chemo treatment, but I did. I went through that radiation treatment, but I got through it. I went through that struggle with that situation, and I got all the kids weren't listening to me, and they weren't lined up, and they were on drugs and messed up, and they got in jail and in trouble. But God got you through it. Every test, every trial, God was there along the way, making sure that you are going to have the victory. That's the kind of God we serve. Isn't that awesome? To think about that He thinks about you that much, that He loves you that much, that He wants you to have the victory in all things. But we got to do our part. Being a Christian was never said it was going to be easy. People are going to pick on you. They picked on Jesus. There's a new movie called Son of God. I think it's coming out here pretty soon. I can't wait to see all the naysayers, you know, pick upon the movie. It's all right. There's plenty of room in hell. That's not God's chosen best for them. Our goal is to create vacancies in hell and fill up heaven so you have a lot more neighbors. Amen? Because when you're moving into heaven, you know, in the gold streets, in the big palace, you're going to need some friends to help you move. Amen? Because you're going to have everything you'll ever need. When you cross that finish line, you got V-I-C-T-O-R-Y on your back. But you got to get the word into you. Because that's the only thing that the Holy Spirit can then pull from to give you the advice that you need to get through what you're going through. Think about that. No word. Then you sit in that trial. I mean, have you ever been through trials before and tests, and you seem like you're going around the mountain 100 times? You ever been there? And it's because there wasn't enough word in you, and God's trying to, you know, it's like trying to start a car, and it starts and starts and starts, but there's no gas in the tank. The word is the gas, and the Holy Spirit's the spark that gets you the word that you need to go and get done what you need to get done. God doesn't want you going around the mountain. God doesn't want you to be the dog chasing its tail. Dog keeps, have you ever seen a dog do that? Cats don't do that, but they're smart. My cat never chases his tail. He might lick his tail, but he don't chase his tail. But dogs, they just chase their tail round and round and round and round and round. And that's like Christians. We go around them. Boy, this looks familiar. And you go around about it again. And boy, that looks. I say, God wants you to have the victory the first time. But it's all predicated that we're going to do the word. So when you come to church, my job is to fill you till your buckets are overflowing with the word, and then you got to just go do it. Once you get the principles down, then you can go do it. Guess what happens? Your life's pretty darn good after that. The Bible said, remember, the Bible said that things are going to happen. They're going to happen to the rich person, to the poor person. It's going to happen to the skilled and the unskilled. It's going to happen to people that are you know, you would never thought it would happen. Everybody's got issues to go through because we live in a place called the world. But thank God I got another passport that says heaven. Thank God I got a passport that goes both ways. I can go heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. I'm only here for a short period of time. Amen? But when you're here, get something done. Don't blame the devil for all your mistakes and all your issues. We are so good at blaming the devil. The devil did this. Have you ever talked to people that said the devil? Man, that devil must live at your house. What's his name? You know? He's my husband. You know, okay. The devil has been defeated. And the devil has been under your feet. And you got the blood of Jesus that washed you and made you cleansed and fresh and new. And he loves you, and he wants you to have the victory, and he wants your kids to have the victory, and he wants the world to see you have the victory. Because when the world sees you have the victory, they're going to want what you have. And all you got to do is point them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and whose name is Jesus. Get them saved and set free and sanctified, and guess what? They can have the same great victories that you have. But we got to show Jesus off a little bit. Amen? Do we get it? Does it make sense? You're good? We got it? No, do we? Do we have it? Yes. So we know we have the victory in life in all the areas of our life. We can do it. Young generation, we can do it. There's a lot of naysayers saying you're a generation nobody, nothing, but you isn't. Amen. I know that's not proper good English, but that's okay. You can be anything you dream to be in Christ Amen. Jesus. Amen. You can be the lawyer, the doctor. You can be the president. You can be the CEO. You can do anything through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You have the victory in Christ Jesus. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You're blessed coming in and you're blessed. You can do it. And as older generation, guess what? We still have some things to get done. God's not through with us just because we hit a certain age. 67 doesn't mean you're retired and thrown away. That means you're just now can be used by God to do other things and help train and teach other people. Come on. There's wisdom and knowledge and insight that you have that you need to share with the other generation. Not to beat them up, but to help them so they don't fall into the pitfalls of life. Amen. Think about that. If you keep your kids pure before they get married, boy, you don't have to worry about raising grandkids in our ears. Come on. I'm just trying to keep it real. I ain't picking at you. I'm just saying. I'm old-fashioned. I'm old-school. And people will get up your, you know, on you when you're old-fashioned. What do you mean my kid's got to be home at a certain curfew? Because there's a curfew. And there's a punishment if the curfew's late, when you come in late. You better be calling if you're going to be running late because mom's going to be worried, which means I'm going to be woke up, which I need my sleep, my 3 hours or 4 hours I get. Come on. Is that not truth?
Yes.
And don't be late for work. Your employer doesn't like when you're late. Late once, late twice, find a new job. Praise God. That's not showing that you have the victory in Christ Jesus when you're walking in late all the time. You might as well walk in 10 minutes early and leave 10 minutes late. Why? Because you're the Christian. You're the one that's showing the way that things should be. I don't know why I'm on that tangent. I'm just trying to help. Not trying to be religious, just trying to get you into that relationship with God. I was just thinking about if Jesus was ever late. Oh yeah, he was one time for Lazarus, wasn't he? But that was a plan. He was right on time. See, everybody thought he was late, but he was right on time. See, you get all stressed and worried when things aren't coming the way they should, but God is right on time. I mean, I'm moving next week. And I want to say and testify about one thing about God. I left one house, and now I'm moving into the penthouse. Not because God made me wealthy, it's because of God. God found me a God deal on a house. And all I got to do is step on in, change the lock, and move in. Praise God. That's the kind of God I serve. Now, did I have to wait 2 years? And sometimes I got impatient, and sometimes I got mad, and come on, Lord. And, you know, the whole time God was orchestrating this thing. He's saying, whoa, boy, just slow down. I got it all under control. So I had to get, what, some more word in me to calm my stallion of going, go. Slow down. I got it all figured out for you. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's hooking me up with the victory. I can't wait to meet all the neighbors and tell them I love Jesus. I can't wait to get that big banner on in front of the house, you know. Welcome home, Christians. Amen, you know. Why? Because we're going to be a light into that community. You ought to be a light everywhere you go. Everywhere you go, you ought to be the light. Everywhere you go, you're the light. Why? Because they see something about you. That you have victory in all that you have. They want to tap in to what you have. The world does. The world's missing out. The world is so messed up. They can't figure out us Christians. That's why they pick on us. That's why they get the IRS on you. That's why they try to make your life crazy. I had a guy tell me that. He said, what happens if the IRS takes your deduction away from giving? I said, this is all right. My God will just have to show himself bigger than your little deduction that I get on my IRS form. Amen? And they look at that number and they say, oh, you're one of those Christians because you give at least 10%. Yeah, I am. I don't worry what people think or say because my God is in charge. My God is large and in charge. My life's good. My kids are doing good. My family's doing good. My parents are still alive. Praise God. Amen. Enjoy them while you can. Enjoy your kids while you can. Enjoy your parents while you can. Even teenagers, I know you don't like us sometimes. Too bad. We love you. But we know something that you don't know, so you got to trust your dad and your mom or your grandma or your grandpa that they know something that you don't know so that you don't fall into the pit. That's all. Why? Because they've already walked in victory in all these areas. And if you just look at how many times they got the victory in those areas, you would start thinking, man, I got to get what they got. Amen? So don't throw away the young generation. Don't get rid of the older generation. Just all kind of work together. Amen? And that's how God does it. That's why we have the victory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Heavenly Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for what you do in our lives. I ask you, Lord God, that allow every person here this morning to walk in the victory of Christ Jesus. Lord, they're going through some tests and they may be going through some trials and they might not have the answers, but they can just put their hands upon Jesus and just take the steps as he's walking. We just following with him. Lord, I ask you to allow this week to be their best week ever. That, Lord God, whatever they put their hands to will prosper and grow. I call them all healed. I call them all whole. I call their finances blessed, Lord God. I believe, Lord, if they're seeking a job, that they'll find one this week, and it'll be the best job ever. It's the one that you, Lord God, have found for them. Father God, if they've been ill, Lord God, in their bodies, allow quick healing now to take place. Allow the word and their testimony line up, Lord God, for their victory. I ask you, Lord God, to bless your people. As they leave this place, let them never be the same. Allow them to grow in the goodness and the mercies of God. I ask you, Lord God, to bless them, for they're the head and not the tail. For they are above and not beneath. They're blessed coming, Lord, but they're even more blessed leaving. Take this word, position yourself to be victorious in all things. In Jesus' name. And everybody who heard it said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.